الحمد لله رب العالمين، وأصلي وأسلم على محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم. In the name of Allah, the most beneficent, the most merciful. I testify that there is no true God worthy of worship except Allah, and that Muhammad is Allah's true slave and messenger. We continue, inshallah, the discussion on the explanation of Hadith Jibreel, which is Hadith number 2 in Imam An-Nawawi's collection of Hadith. And now, in the answer of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam to the question of Jibreel, when he asked him what is the pre-decree, what is Iman, and the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasalam answered giving the pillars of Iman, and the last one was having faith in the pre-decree, it's good and it's bad. And here he reiterated, or he used the word tu'min twice, he repeated the word tu'min when he mentioned the belief in the pre-decree, in order to emphasize its seriousness and its importance. And that the belief in the pre-decree comprises four matters. The first one is to believe in the knowledge of Allah, that Allah encompasses everything with His knowledge, and in His encompassment is general and also in details. As to the general, we came across that is the saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, as evidence for that is in Surah Al-Baqarah, chapter 2, verse 282, وَاللَّهُ بِكُلِّ شَيْءٍ عَلِيمٍ. And indeed Allah is all aware, all knower of everything, of each and everything. Also Musa alayhi salam emphasized in his response to Fir'aun, as in Surah Taha, Musa said, لَا يَضِلُّ رَبِّي وَلَا يَنْسَى. The knowledge thereof is with my Lord. In a record, my Lord is neither unaware nor He forgets. Also, another evidence for the generality is the saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Surah At-Talaq 65, verse 12. الله الذي خلق سبع سماوات ومن الأرض مثلهن يتنزل الأمر بينهن لتعلموا أن الله على كل شيء قدير وأن الله قد أحاط بكل شيء علما. And with him Allah are the keys. Or the verse before that, inshallah, is it is Allah who has created seven heavens and of the earth the like thereof, meaning seven. His command descends between them, between the heavens and the earth, that you may know that Allah has power over all things, and that Allah surrounds all things, subhanahu wa ta'ala, in His knowledge. This is general. This is comprehensive, general. As to the detailed ones, as to the detailed knowledge, the saying of Allah in Surah Al-An'am, chapter 6, 59, and with Him are the keys of the ghaib, meaning all that is hidden. None knows them but He, and He knows whatever there is in or on the earth and in the sea. Not a leaf falls but He knows it. There is not a grain in the darkness of the earth, nor anything fresh or dry, but is written in a clear record. Here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, وَيَعْلَمُ مَا فِي الْبَرِّ وَالْبَحْرِ. This ma, this article, is known from the grammatical aspect. This is known as ismun mawsul. Ismun mawsul, which means a relative pronoun. And every relative pronoun then indicates generality, is used for generality. So everything in the land or in the earth or on the earth, Allah knows of it. And everything which is in the sea, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows of it. And when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in his saying, وَمَا تَسْقُطُ مِنْ وَرَقَةٍ, there is not a leaf falls, but he knows it. It means أي ورقة, mean any leaf. except that Allah knows it. He knows when it fell, where did it fall, and how did it fall. And in his saying, وَلَا حَبَّةٍ فِي ظُلُمَاتِ الْأَرْضِ, there is not a grain in the darkness of the earth, nor anything fresh or dry, but is written in a clear record. أَيُّ حَبَّةٍ, any grain, minute or big, in the darkness of the earth, except that Allah knows it. And if we consider that a grain of wheat went into the bottom of the sea, then on top of it there is mud, and on top of that there is water. And if that occurred during the night, then this is the darkness of the night. And if it was a rainy, if the heavens was rainy on that day or on that night, then this is another darkness. And also if the clouds were thick and intense, then this is another darkness. And if the weather was dusty, then this is another darkness yet. Then Allah knows it, knows of this seed, knows of this grain. And if the believer fulfills the belief in the knowledge of Allah, and that He, the Most Magnificent, Most High, encompasses everything with His knowledge, then that should necessitate for him to fear Allah and have awe, and also seeking Him in what He subhanahu wa ta'ala possesses. Because every movement you take, except or but Allah knows of it. So this is the first article of the belief in the pre-decree, or the first rank. And the second rank is the belief that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to have faith that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wrote the provisions and measures of everything in the preserved tablet until the day of resurrection. Everything is written. قال الله عز وجل in Surah Yasin, verse 12, وَكُلَّ شَيْءٍ أَحْصَيْنَاهُ فِي إِمَامٍ مُبِينٍ. And all things we have recorded with numbers as a record in a clear book. And also Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, وَلَقَدْ كَتَبْنَا فِي الزَّبُورِ مِنْ بَعْدِ الذِّكْرِ, in Surah Al-Anbiya 21:105, وَلَقَدْ كَتَبْنَا فِي الزَّبُورِ مِنْ بَعْدِ الذِّكْرِ. And indeed we have written in Al-Zabur. And Al-Zabur here really refers to the preserved tablet. Please make note of that. The Zabur here means Al-Lawh Al-Mahfuz, the preserved tablet. What is written? Now, that is in the heaven with Allah. Yes, the preserved, the Lawh al-Mahfuz, this book. What is written? أَنَّ الْأَرْضَ يَرِثُهَا عِبَادِيَ الصَّالِحُونَ, that my righteous slaves shall inherit the land, meaning the land of paradise. And there are many verses of the same meaning. Furthermore, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam informed us that Allah informed that Allah azza wa jal, when He created the pen, when Allah created the pen, He commanded it. قال له اكتب, write. The pen said, قال ربي وماذا اكتب. The pen said, O my Lord, what should I write? قال اكتب ما هو كائن. Write the record of all that will occur. فجرى في تلك الساعة بما هو كائن إلى يوم القيامة. So in that hour it wrote, meaning the pen, everything that will occur until the day of resurrection. Now, Allah commanded the pen to write. But how is it that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala addresses this to the pen? And the response is yes. This is okay that it comes from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Nothing wrong with that. So the question is, كيف يوجه الخطاب إلى الجماد? How is it that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is addressing al-jamad, something of an animate or inanimate body, inanimate thing? The answer is yes, this is true from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because He is the one who can make the inanimate being or thing speak. And the inanimate thing or being with respect to Allah comprehends. With respect to Allah, it comprehends things. And therefore, it is okay that it is being addressed. قال الله تعالى, take the following saying of Allah in Surah Fussilat 41:11. ثم استوى إلى السماء وهي دخان فقال لها وللأرض ائتيا طوعا أو كرها قالتا أتينا طائعين. Then he, Allah, استوى, rose over towards the heaven when it was smoke, and said to it and to the earth, come both of you willingly or unwillingly. They both said, we come willingly. So Allah addressed them and informed us of their response, and it came in the plural relative to the sensible or comprehending. So Allah commanded the pen to write, and the pen complied. However, there was a problem with respect to the pen as to what to write. That's why it said, Rabbi wa ماذا أكتب? My Lord, what should I write? Allah said to him, أكتب ما هو كائن إلى يوم القيامة. Write all that which is occurring or will take place until the day of the resurrection. So in that moment, everything that will take place until the day of resurrection and only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows the occurrences and the incidences and what will take place. He is the only one who knows of them until the day of resurrection. And all of that is the preserved tablet, contains all of what will occur until the day of resurrection. We don't know the how of the preserved tablet. What is it made from? Is it from wood? Is it from iron? We don't know the size of this tablet, nor its extent and how much it may contain. Allah knows that, and it is incumbent upon us that we have faith that there is a preserved tablet in which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wrote the measures of everything in it. And beyond that, we have no right to search more than this. In our times recently, something appeared known as laser discs, such that each disc may hold in it so many books. And this is from the making of the human. And I say this only to, by way of making the thing closer to our understanding, not as a means of resemblance or likening, because the preserved tablet is much more magnificent for us to comprehend it. The third rank concerning the belief and the pre-decree is that we have faith and believe that whatever occurred in the universe is by the will of Allah. Nothing escapes His will. Never. And that's why the Muslims are in agreement, or there is consensus amongst them on the following word: whatever Allah willed took place, and whatever He didn't will did not take place. Or you can say, Masha Allahu kan, whatever Allah wills will take place, and whatever He wills not will not take place. So everything that takes place by the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He willed it to occur. And this is general, meaning it covers that which pertains to His actions and whatever His creatures do. All is in accordance with His will. The evidence for this is the saying of Allah Azza wa Jal in Surah Al-Baqarah 2:253, وَلَوْ شَاءَ اللَّهُ مَقْتَتَلَ الَّذِينَ مِنْ بَعْدِهِمْ مِنْ بَعْدِ مَا جَاءَتْهُمُ الْبَيِّنَاتِ وَلَكِنْ اخْتَلَفُوا فَمِنْهُمْ مَنْ آمَنَ وَمِنْهُمْ مَنْ كَفَرْ وَلَوْ شَاءَ اللَّهُ مَقْتَتَلُوا وَلَكِنَّ اللَّهَ يَفْعَلُ مَا يُرِيدُ. If Allah had willed, succeeding generations would not have fought against each other after clear verses of Allah had come to them, but they differed. Some of them believed and others disbelieved. If Allah had willed, they would not have fought against one another, but Allah does what He likes. Of course, He does what He likes in accordance with His wisdom and with His knowledge and justice. And also Allah Azza wa Jal said in Surah Al-An'am, in chapter 6, verse 112, وَلَوْ شَاءَ رَبُّكَ مَا فَعَلُوهُ. And if your Lord had willed, they would not have done it. And also Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in Surah Al-Takwir in 81 verses 29, 28 and 29, لِمَنْ شَاءَ مِنْكُمْ أَنْ يَسْتَقِيمُ وَمَا تَشَاءُونَ إِلَّا أَنْ يَشَاءَ اللَّهُ رَبُّ الْعَالَمِينَ. To whomsoever among you who wills to walk straight, and you will not unless it be that Allah wills, the Lord of Al-Alameen, of all that exists. So everything that takes place in this universe, Allah had willed it. And if the person believes in this, then he will be safe from the actions of shaitan. Such that if he does something, and whatever occurred was not what he intended, and then he goes to say, لَيْتَنِي لَمْ أَفْعَلْ, I wish that I didn't do this, then this is from the action of shaitan. Because that which you did, Allah had willed it to occur. Khalas, it's over. And it's inevitable that it will take place. However, pay attention to this word now, please. إِن كَانَ ذَنْبًا فَعَلَيْكَ بِالتَّوْبَةِ وَالْإِسْتِغْفَارِ. However, if that which you did now, if it was a sin, then it's incumbent upon you to repent and seek forgiveness. Meaning that you don't say, well, ya laytani lam af'al, I wish I didn't do, and you begin to do and to say these things. If any matter that you were willing didn't take place as you willed, don't say then, لَيْتَنِي لَمْ أَفْعَلْ, I wish I hadn't done that. This is from the action of shaitan. Because, خلاص, لَأَنَّ الَّذِي فَعَلْتَهُ قَدْ شَاءَ اللَّهِ. Whatever you did now, when it took place, then Allah permitted it to occur. And therefore, it's inevitable that it will occur now. So this is the rank of mashi'a, of the will. And the fourth rank is Al-Khalq, creation. The fourth rank of the belief in the pre-decree of Allah pertains to the creation. Meaning Allah creates. Meaning to believe that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala khalaqa kulla shay, He created everything. So we believe in the general creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala creating everything. قال الله تعالى in Surah Al-Furqan 25, for example. 25 verse 2, وَخَلَقَ كُلَّ شَيْءٍ فَقَدَّرَهُ تَقْدِيرًا. The last statement, He has created everything and has measured it exactly according to its due measurement. So every action now is created by Allah, and Allah willed it to occur, and it is written in the tablet, in the preserved tablet, and Allah knows of it. Now you know the four ranks of the Qadr now, how they are linked? Now you know how they are linked? Something that took place. Then, okay, let's apply the first rank on it. Something that took place. The first rank is that Allah knew it, right? Right? Let's have some sharing here. Allah knew it. Okay. Others, is that clear? Other than Sister of Ahmed. Okay, Barira. So, okay. Something took place. Allah knew it. Secondly, it is written in the preserved tablet that on that day, such and such thing, on that moment, such and such thing will take place. Is that understood? Is that clear now? Fine. Something took place, it means that Allah knew it, knows of it, and that it is written in the preserved tablet that it will take place on that day, in that moment, in that shape, in that form. Right? Written. So this is the rank of writing. Thirdly, it took place by the will of Allah, meaning Allah willed it to take place, to occur. Is that clear now? Is this also clear? طيب. Finally, we know that Allah created it, right? It is a creation of Allah, isn't it? It's a creation of Allah, isn't it? Now, in this example, you know that how to apply the four ranks of Al-Qadr, of the pre-decree. Now, what are the four ranks now? Knowledge, writing, will, mashi'a, and creation. Is that clear, inshallah? The four ranks, how they are interrelated. The four ranks, how they are interrelated. Knowledge, writing, willing it to occur, and fourthly, creation. Allah created it. So everything concerning now the fourth rank, Allah is the creator of everything. Everything is created to Allah. The heavens, the earth, the seas, the rivers, the planets, the sun, and the moon, man. Everything is a creation of Allah. Even the movements of man is a creation of Allah. Allah created them. Because Allah created man and his actions as well. Allah created man and his actions. So if man is created, alaykum salam, if man is created, then his attributes and his actions are a creation, and there is no doubt. And the actions of the slaves are created to Allah. Even though their actions are by their choice and by their will, however, they are a creation of Allah. Why we say this? Because the actions of the slave originating from a will, from a determined will and complete ability. And the creator of the will and the ability is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now, can we say now, are the attributes of Allah created? Are the attributes of Allah created? The answer is no. Because the attributes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, like His self. The attributes of Allah are like His self. Let's write this important foundation. I will write it down. Alaykum as-salam. The attributes of Allah are, when we speak about the attributes, is like we speak about His that, in the sense that, since His that, His essence, His self is not created, so His attributes are not as well. With respect to man, man's attributes are like himself, meaning they are created. And the people, with respect to the pre-decree, the people with respect to the pre-decree of Allah are divided into three categories. The people with respect to the pre-decree of Allah are divided into three categories, and we will explain them further when we talk about the benefits of this hadith, inshallah. But let us mention the categories. The first category of people are those who are of the mufarrat type, meaning excessive, the excessive category. The second are the negligent ones. The second are the negligent. And the third are the upright or the straight. And the third are the upright or the straight. Those, of course, the explanation of those will come, inshallah. The categories of people with respect to the pre-decree are either excessive or negligent or upright on the just medium course. Is that clear, inshallah? Let's emphasize the following then. Alhamdulillah. Let's emphasize the following. Belief in the pre-decree does not negate the fact that the servant has will, has mashi'ah. We have mashi'ah, we have will and ability, we have qudra in those actions where man has a choice. Rather, both the Sharia texts and the reality as well that is witnessed affirm this matter for man. Let's take the textual proofs. Allah says about the will, man's will, فَمَنْ شَاءَ اتَّخَذَ إِلَىٰ رَبِّهِ مَآبًا, as in Surah An-Naba 78. These benefits now are again from the Shaykh's Rahimahullah's explanation on the three fundamentals concerning the issue of the pre-decree. فَمَنْ شَاءَ اتَّخَذَ إِلَىٰ رَبِّهِ مَآبًا, that is without doubt the true day. So whoever wills, look at that. So whoever wills, let him seek a place with or away to his Lord by obeying him in the word of life. Okay. Also Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says concerning having legal sexual intercourse with the wife, Allah says in Surah Al-Baqarah 2:2-3, فَأْتُوا حَرْفَكُمْ أَنَّ, look at this, أَنَّ شِئْتُمْ, enter your wives from any angle you wish. You wish. So this is affirming that man has a will. Also, in Surah Al-Taghabun, which is 64:16, فَاتَّقُوا اللَّهَ مَا اسْتَطَعْتُمْ. Okay, here the verse from Surah Al-Baqarah, your wives are a tilth for you, so go to your tilth, have sexual relations with your wives in any manner as long as it is in the vagina and not in the anus, when or how you will. So this is affirming the will for man. Also in Surah Al-Taghabun 64:16, فَاتَّقُوا اللَّهَ مَا اسْتَطَعْتُمْ, so keep your duty to Allah, وَاسْمَعُوا وَأَطِيعُوا, and fear Him as much as you can, listen and obey. Not only that, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Surah Al-Baqarah 2:286, لَا يُكَلِّفُ اللَّهُ نَفْسًا إِلَّا وُسْعَهَا لَهَا مَا كَسَبَتْ وَعَلَيْهَا. Allah does not place a burden on any soul greater than that it can bear. It will receive the good that it has earned. It has earned and is accountable for the evil it has committed. It has committed. This is from the textual proofs. In the reality, every person knows that he possesses will and ability, and through them is able to do or leave an action. Furthermore, he knows that there is a difference between things that occur with his will, such as walking along, this is taking place by our will, and things that occur involuntarily, such as his trembling with fear. Such as his trembling with fear. However, the will and ability of the person, look at this, our will exists by the will and ability or power of Allah, meaning Allah willed it to exist by his will and ability. Here we took this verse as evidence earlier, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in Surah Al-Takwir 81:28-29, لِمَنْ شَاءَ مِنْكُمْ أَنْ يَسْتَقِيمْ وَمَا تَشَاءُونَ إِلَّا أَنْ يَشَاءَ اللَّهُ رَبُّ الْعَالَمِينَ, to whomever among you who wills to walk straight on the straight path, and you will not unless it be that Allah wills, the Lord of the Alameen of all that exists. Because all of the creation is part of the dominion of Allah. And there is nothing within His dominion that exists without His knowledge and will. It must be. Such belief in the pre-decree does not provide any excuse for a person to abandon obligatory duties or to commit sins, using the plea that this matter was pre-decreed for him. So if it is pre-decreed for him, such an argument is futile because of the following. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says about the pagans, سَيَقُولُ الَّذِينَ أَشْرَكُوا لَوْ شَاءَ اللَّهُ مَا أَشْرَكْنَا. Those who worship others along with Allah will say, if Allah had willed us to believe and worship Him alone, then we would not have worshipped others along with Him. In Surah Al-An'am 6:148. Nor would our forefathers, nor would we ourselves have declared things forbidden. So the fact that He did not prevent us shows that He is pleased with what we do. Look at their argument. In the same way did the evil doers before them deny and reject the truth until our punishment came upon them. Say to them, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, do you have any proof that you can produce that Allah is pleased with that? Do you have proof that Allah is pleased with your shirk? Rather, you are just following conjecture and inventing lies against Allah. So, if there had been any excuse for them in the pre-decree, then Allah would not have sent down His punishment upon them. Because Allah is all just. Allah does not send a punishment on some people who are, you know, complying or having a legitimate argument. Subhanallah. Also, it is futile from another angle. In the saying of Allah in Surah An-Nisa, in chapter 4, 165, please make these notes concerning this refuting of those who take the pre-decree as a plea against Allah in order to excuse themselves. Take this from another angle. MashaAllah. Tayyib. رسلا مبشرين ومنذرين لئلا يكون للناس على الله حجة بعد الرسل وكان الله عزيزا حكيما. Messengers as bearers of good news as well as of warning. Why? In order that mankind should have no plea against Allah after the messengers. And Allah is ever all powerful, all wise. If pre-decree were an excuse for the evildoers, then it would not be removed by sending of the messengers. Since their evil acts after the sending of the messenger would still be according to the pre-decree of Allah. Would still be according to the pre-decree of Allah. Al-Bukhari rahimahullah reports from Ali bin Abi Talib, may Allah be pleased with him, that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, there is not one of you except that his place in the fire or in paradise has already been written. So a man from the people said, shall we not just depend upon it, O Messenger of Allah? Meaning, yani khalas, should we depend on this and don't do anything? The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam replied, no act for everyone will have that made easy for him. Act for everyone will have that made easy for him. Then he recited the verses 5 to 10 of Surah Al-Layl, of Surah Al-Layl. In the wording reported by Muslim of the same hadith, he said, "Act, for everyone will have that which he was created for, made easy for him." So the people commanded action and forbade inaction and dependence upon pre-decree. The Prophet ﷺ commanded the people to act and forbade inaction and dependence upon the pre-decree. Because no one knows what is pre-decreed for him. No one knows whether he is from the people of hell or people of paradise. As for him who gives, this is what the Prophet ﷺ recited when he gave them that command. As for him who gives in charity and keeps his duty to Allah and fears him and believes in al-husna, meaning in tawheed and what it entails, we will make smooth for him the path of ease, of goodness. But he who is greedy, miser, and thinks himself self-sufficient and gives the lie to al-husna, we will make smooth for him the path for evil. This is another angle. The third angle, alaykum as-salam wa rahmatullahi wa ta'ala barakatuh. Allah the Most High gave the servant orders and prohibitions. Allah gave us command and did not burden man except with that which he is capable of performing. فَاتَّقُوا اللَّهَ مَا اسْتَطَعْتُمْ, we read earlier. And fear Allah and fear His punishment by doing whatever He has obligated, avoiding sins and doing deeds that will draw one closer to Him as much as you are able. And then Allah says, لَا يُكَلِّفُ اللَّهُ نَفْسًا إِلَّا وُسْعَهَا, Allah does not place a burden on any soul greater than it can bear. So if the servant was compelled to do evil actions, if the servant was compelled to do evil actions, then he would have been duty bound with avoiding something which is impossible for him to avoid, and this is futile. It can't be. Therefore, it is the case that if he falls into a sin due to ignorance, forgetfulness, or having been compelled, then there is no sin upon him and he is excused. The fifth angle, Allah's pre-decree is a hidden secret that is not known except after what was decreed comes about, after it exists. We don't know of it before it exists. We know of it after it takes place. Whereas the person's will and desire in his deeds is something that precedes them, precedes his actions. So his will to commit the actions is not based upon his having knowledge of what Allah has decreed. He can't. He cannot. Since this is the case, it invalidates his attempt to use the pre-decree as an excuse, because there is no proof for a person in something that he does not know. We say that in a person's worldly affairs, he strives to take care of that which is in his best interests, seeking to attain that. And he does not instead strive to attain what is not in his best interest and excuse himself in this with the pre-decree. He doesn't do that. So why then does he turn away from that which benefits him in the matter of his religion and instead does that which will harm him and then use the pre-decree as his excuse? Aren't these two matters the same? Why he is distinguishing one from the other? We will quote an example to make this clear. If a person stood at the head of two roads, one of them led to a land where there was total anarchy, killing and looting, destruction of property, fear and famine. And the second road led to a land of complete order, total stability and security, affluence, and where people's life and property and wealth were respected. Then which road will he take? He will certainly take the second road to the land of order and security. It is not possible that any sane person would take the road to the land of anarchy and fear and then use pre-decree as his excuse. So why, with regard to the affairs of the hereafter, does he take the road to the fire and not the road to paradise and seek to use pre-decree as his excuse? It doesn't make sense. Another example is that of a sick person who is told to take a medicine that he does not like or desire, so he drinks it. And he is told to refrain from some food that he likes to avoid its harm, so he refrains from it. He does all of this hoping to be cured and restored to well-being. It is not possible that he will abstain from drinking the medicine and will eat the harmful food and then seek to use pre-decree as his excuse in this. So why does a person leave that which Allah and His Messenger commanded, or do that which Allah forbade and His Messenger forbade, and then seek to use pre-decree as an excuse? Also doesn't make sense. Another angle, that the one who seeks to use pre-decree as an excuse for abandoning the obligatory duties or for committing sins, if a person were to transgress against him, either stealing his wealth or violating his rights, and then sought to use pre-decree as an excuse for his actions, saying to him, "Don't blame me, since my transgression was something decreed by Allah," then he would not accept this excuse. Would anyone accept this? He would not accept it for him. So how is it that he will not accept pre-decree as an excuse for something who transgresses against him, yet he himself seeks to use it as an excuse for himself when he transgresses against that which is the right of Allah the Most High? In this regard, it is mentioned that a thief who deserved the punishment of having his hand amputated was brought before Amir al-Mu'mineen, the leader of the believers, Umar ibn al-Khattab, may Allah be pleased with him. So he ordered that his hand be amputated. So the thief said, "Wait, O chief of the believers. I only stole by the pre-decree of Allah." You see, now he's making an excuse. "I only stole by the pre-decree of Allah." So Umar replied, "And we only amputate by the pre-decree of Allah." Allahu Akbar. And a proper response to that thief's misunderstanding of the pre-decree. Certainly the belief in the pre-decree produces very great fruits, and we will talk about that inshallah tomorrow. We continue this subject inshallah to finish the hadith of Jibreel from the answer of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam to Jibreel's question, "What is Iman? What is Iman? What is faith?" And the last thing that the Prophet ﷺ was talking about is the faith in the pre-decree. And this is where we are explaining it from the explanation of the 40 hadith, together with some fruitful and additional benefits from the explanation of the three fundamentals by our Shaykh Muhammad bin Salih Al Uthaymeen rahimahullah ta'ala. And these are very, very useful and basic and yet very, very profound matters for the believers, alhamdulillah, to hold to. والحمد لله رب العالمين وصلى الله على محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم